The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
We're back in the book of Revelation, all right? So what about this revelation, about the end time? We talked about a lot of stuff. We talked about Babylon and why it's judged, why you don't want to miss the last wedding. You know, you don't want to miss weddings. You don't want to miss the last wedding. Why Jesus is King and Lord of all. We spoke about the resurrection, the millennium, and the final judgment. Took a two-part series to get that done. We spoke about why you shouldn't be fearful of the lawless one, the evil one. And today we're going to talk about, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do my best. We're going to continue our journey of the end times and talk about what about our eternal future home? Our eternal future home, all right? So, Jim, since I'm up here with one hand, you're going to be my operator up there, okay? So, here's the question. What is the transition from here to eternity? The transition from here to eternity. And let's look at Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. Here we go. The future home and eternity. There we go. I usually do this. There we go. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Okay, let's stop here for a minute, and I want you to look at a few things, but I'm going to highlight them for you and talk about them in some detail. Because if you don't get this, it'll kind of mess you up. Remember that the book of Revelation talks about things that have passed, things that are present, and things of the future, all right? And here, things are kind of morphing together. We're having some past things, some present things, and some future things all together. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, all right? And he says, in the holy city, the new Jerusalem came down from God. And then he says, as a bride dressed for a husband. So you can see there's some mixed metaphors here, some mixed images that we're going to see. So it's, he says, the holy city, the new Jerusalem, a new heaven, a new earth. Oh, and by the way, it's the bride. It's the wife of prepared for her husband. So it's mixing some things together. And what I'm going to do my best to do is kind of separate these a little bit for you. The vision of the end times is drawing to a close. All right, we're in chapter 1. John the Revelator is getting to this point in time. And he describes the end of the end times. But he also describes the beginning of the new beginning. Did you hear me? He talks about the end of the end times and the beginning of the new beginning. And he kind of mixes things up in a beautiful bouquet of imagery and thoughts for us to study together. Time as we know it begins to morph into a new reality. You know, we've talked about this quite a few times over the years about time. Time is a created thing. God lives in a place called the eternal now. We only know time, and whenever we talk about things that are timeless, that do not have a clock attached to it, we get really confused really, really quick. And it's difficult for us to even think outside of that time continuum. So, but John is telling us that time as we know it is changing. Things are happening. And there's a new reality. He says there's a new heaven and a new earth. Now, we know from other places in that the book of Revelation is more imagery than it is factual things that we normally think of. If I tell you I got a new car, you understand I got a new car. If you got a new house, I understand you got a new house. In this case, it's not necessarily new and like the old disappeared, but it does. But it's new in that it's different. Things are different. Remember that when Jesus showed up on the scene, he said, change the way you think because the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent because the kingdom is here. Things are going to be different. Things are happening very quickly now as John's vision unfolds. Things are going to be very, very different. He said the new heaven and the new earth, because the first heavens and the first earth passed away. See, a good place for you to see this is in the book of Corinthians, where Paul said that we become a new creation in Christ. All things pass away. Behold, all things become new. I remember my mentor in the Lord said that the day before he got saved, he loved bacon and eggs for breakfast. The day after he got saved, he still loved bacon and eggs for breakfast. You know, your old body that you had before you got saved is the same body you still have today being saved. But something's different. It's changed. The way you on the inside, Christ living in you, has changed you. You're not what you were 1 millisecond before you got saved when the Holy Spirit moved up and took dwelling within you. There's a new dwelling place, this place called the Holy City. When we think of the Holy City, we think of something with a halo around it. We think of the Holy Land. And if you're in Florida, there's the Holy Land Experience. All of you have seen that on TBN, the Holy Land Experience. It's a place where God is, where God dwells. Well, God took up residence within us. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence within us. We are that holy city. It's where God dwells. Okay? Now, you'll see, and I'm not going to read all of this passage of Scripture, but I encourage you to do it. It says that there's no sun. There's no need of the sun because God lights it up. We're so used to that thing coming up every day. If it doesn't come up one day, we're going to be a little worried, right? If the sun didn't come up this morning, all of you wouldn't be here. You'd be at home trying to find out on TV what happened to the sun because it always comes up. Well, it's going to say in this holy city, this new Jerusalem, this new dynamic, there's no need for that light that comes from the sun, but that God himself, who is described as light, is going to be the light of everything. There'll be no need for artificial lighting. In the temple, they used lamps to light things up. We got electric light bulbs all over the place in here, keep giving us light so we can see. He said there'll be no need of that because the Lamb himself will light things up. Well, I've been to the barn, and lambs don't give out a lot of light. You know, they bah and run around, but they don't give you any light. So there's the imagery again, the light that comes from Christ. You see, Christ is the ultimate revelation of truth. He's the one who lights us up. He's the one who gives us information. It's through the Lamb of God that we get this. So what happens is that which was totally hidden will be totally revealed. See, right now you're struggling. I can almost see the smoke coming off the top of your head. Say, what is he saying? What is he talking about? Well, it's because we don't get it, all right? And John didn't get it all. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit and wrote what he wrote. And I'm under the anointing of God as a preacher and a proclaimer of truth to try to bring it to you. But your little gray matter on the inside is just running around like nuts because it can't figure this out. What is the pastor trying to say? I'm trying to say the same thing that John tried to say, that God lights up our world and he gives us truth. And the only place we're going to find truth is in him. All the news media want to know what's going on. What happened to this guy that he killed these people? What, you know, they're looking for knowledge. They're looking for wisdom. They're looking to understand, and they can't understand. The only way to understand that is in the light of God. That God illuminates things. Now, if I walked into the news media in New York City and I said, I can tell you what went wrong and why this man killed these people. I can tell you why the ISIS people are killing people and beheading people. I can tell you why there's evil all around the world. And he said, what do you know? Do you know more than Snowden, the guy who went to Russia with all the truths that he stole from America? And I said, no, I found it in an ancient book. It's called the Bible. And it says that men do evil things because we live in an evil world. And they are possessed by evil, but God loves them and cares about them, and God would love to transform them and change them. They would throw me out on my ear. They say, some wacko one-armed guy just showed up, you know. He's crazier than a loon, you know. Get him out of here. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, the reason they would say that is because they're not illuminated. They haven't been in the light of God to see the truth, all right? So John's vision, and I wished I was a Hollywood producer because I've been thinking about this for a couple of weeks now to get you to see this. If I was a Hollywood producer, I'd make a movie. You know how things flash in and out when you see a movie sometimes? You know, you see something and then it disappears. It's kind of like looking through a cloud and it clears up and then it disappears. That's what this is like. We're looking through a glass darkly. We're looking with the eyes and mind of the world, trying to understand the spiritual truths, all right? And the only way we're going to understand is the Holy Spirit's going to have to give us this understanding. The present reality starts to diminish. This world that we're in is diminishing. And there's a new dynamic and a new reality that's making its presence known. The sea, for instance, we see here where it says, I saw the, says there was no longer any sea. Well, normally when you see that, it said, no more water. The water disappeared. Well, if that's what you're thinking wrong. Sea is a euphemism. It's a metaphor. It's a concept that is used to describe humanity. Have you ever heard this? There'll be a whole, like when Martin Luther King Jr. was in Washington, D.C., and they had millions of people up there to hear him and see him before, you know, way back when he was at the Lincoln Monument, and they used an expression. It said there was a sea of humanity, a sea of people. Why? Because together, collectively, we're like the sea. We're always moving, you know. We're always, you know, shuffling around. We're always doing it. And he said that that's going to disappear, that humanity won't always be here. We won't always be in this place. So the sea will disappear. Our relationship to God begins to transform. We go from the promises of God, God promised things, to the present where those promises become reality, and then the revelation of new promises, new things to come. The Old Testament prophet said, Isaiah is the biggest one who talked about it, he said, there's coming somebody, there's going to be a king, a child will be born to us. He'll be called Mighty God. The government will be on his shoulders. He talks about the suffering servant. He said, he will be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace will be upon him, and by his stripes we'll be healed. He was talking about a future thing that would happen. Jesus showed up on the scene, and that was the present reality. We look back with the eyes of knowledge, and we can talk about Jesus and what he did. But he said, I'll be coming back. And when I come back, things are going to be different. So we're looking to the future again. John is kind of like the old, in the book of Revelation, it's kind of like Isaiah. He's showing us some things of the future. Isaiah didn't get it all right. I mean, he got it right, but they didn't understand it until the reality showed up. Remember, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. He said, you search the scriptures because you believe in them that you will find life. I am telling you that the scriptures speak of me. And you will not believe me. I'm right here in front of you. I'm trying to tell you the same thing. The scriptures are talking about a future revelation of Jesus Christ. In fact, the book of Revelation is called exactly that. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, all right? So we're seeing that revelation of Jesus, this new dynamic that we haven't seen before. We know him as a Christ child. We know him as a crucified Christ. We know him as a resurrected Christ. But we don't know him is the new Christ coming back a second time. All right? We don't know what that all is. We have some imagery, but we don't fully understand it. Okay. Everybody take a deep breath. Are y'all still with me? Because if you're not getting what I'm saying, just raise your hand and tell me, because I'll repeat myself. Because I don't want to talk to myself. You know, I want you to understand and get a feel for this. And I realize it's a little difficult, but when you see it, you'll be like the V8 commercial. You smack yourself on the head, you know, and say, wow, that's it. I could have had a V8. And that's where we're going, that you can have a V8, but more than that, that you can have the truth. All right, you got that so far? Shake your head so I know you're all right. Okay. Okay? Now, for those of you who haven't been here for the last several months, I really feel sorry for you, because I'm really building on something I've been building on for a while. So just kind of hang in and let the Holy Spirit kind of teach you some stuff. You can get the previous sermons. You can ask the guys back in the media room. They can give them to you. You can go on the internet and listen to them. You can download them to your iPads, your iPhones, and your eyeballs, wherever you need, all right? You know, so it's all available to you, but you just won't have the full picture here today. Okay, I need to tell you that. By the way, while I'm talking about that, for those of you who still haven't acquired one of the Grace Thoughts books, they're in the back. So we still have some back there. I'm getting ready to place a second order. When we were down in Florida, I left a case and a half of books with people who bought them and those I gave out. So people are reading the book. By the way, I'm getting letters and emails from people I don't even know telling me about the impact the book's had on their life. So I'd encourage you. It's a great book. I wrote it. I know it's great. All right. Okay, here we go. So let's go to point number one in my sermon. Jim, you just go on ahead here. Next slide. There we go. What is the transition from here to eternity? The transition is from God with us to a new reality. Emmanuel, God with us. That's what the angel said when Jesus was born. God with us. And so we understand that that's who Christ is. God with us. But we're moving on to a new reality in the book of Revelation. All right, Jim, bring up the next slide. Revelation 21, 3 through 5. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, listen, anytime you hear a loud voice from the throne, it's time to pay attention, okay? Look, God's dwelling place is now, underline that for you, among the people. So I told you it's a present reality, all right? It's now. This is part of the problem people have had with the book of Revelation. They thought everything was in the future. I'm here to tell you that the vast majority of it is now. It has future applications, but it's now. Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Now, does that sound familiar? Someplace, something you might have heard that wasn't in the book of Revelation, right? God is with us. We receive the Holy Spirit. God dwells within us. We are the dwelling of God. Know you not that you are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you, that's a present reality. That's what you have today. All right? They will be called his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Now, normally when you read that, you say, man, I can't wait for all of this to be over. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more mourning. There'll be no more pain. The old stuff will be gone and the new stuff will be here. But maybe you won't feel that way when we get finished this morning. That maybe some of that stuff you think you're looking for is already here. It's already here. I believe that we as a church, as people, as individuals, are weak and anemic and suffer because we don't know who we are in Christ. We're waiting for something wonderful to happen. I'm here to tell you something wonderful has already happened. You know, Becky, you talked about that with your mom. You know, y'all took authority. You did something spiritually. You exercised spiritual gifts, and you saw the result of it. That got you to rejoice now, didn't it? Made you happy now. So we don't have to look. Listen, if all Christianity is something in the future, somebody please kill me and get me out of this place. You know? But there's more to it. There's something, there's a way that we can live today, we can live now. All right? The new reality began with the birth of Jesus, and it's been like an eternal reactor that's been geometrically generating light and life for us. And every day it speeds up more and more. You ever notice how fast life seems to be going by? Events seem to be spinning by. You know, you can't get through one news cycle and another news cycle begins. You can't get through one event in life and another event is here. My gosh, it's almost Christmas again. What happened? You know, I'm back in last January. What is going on? It's a speeding up of things. The angel told Mary that Jesus would be Emmanuel, God with us. He changed everything. You're looking for something to change? It says there, I am making everything new. Everything was new when Jesus came. The old passed away. The new showed up. The old covenant was gone. The new covenant showed up. He introduced a new concept about God. God was this entity to be feared and thunder and lightning and shaking and vengeance. And he showed up and he said, he's our Father. He's a loving, caring Father who wants to be with us and spend time with us and take care of us. That was a concept that was unheard of in the Old Testament. That's one of the things that Jesus made completely new was the way that we think about God. In the Old Testament, we would have never thought of God that way. In fact, let me tell you what they did. You know about the scribes. You know what a scribe is? A scribe is one who took a copy, a handwritten copy of the Old Testament scriptures and made a copy of it. And when they would make a copy, they were so fearful about making a mistake. If they made a mistake in a word, just any word, they just made a mistake. They were supposed to put a T and they put an I, or whatever the Hebrew letters are for that. They would stop, and they would take that parchment, and they would scrape off that ink. It was a big, laborious task. And they would have other men around them praying the whole time they were doing it. And they made sure that there was no way that you could see any remains of the error that was there. And then they would rewrite the right word. But if they were writing the word that described God, Jehovah, Yahweh, if they made a mistake there, they wouldn't correct it. They would take that parchment out, a whole work. You know how long it takes to do something like that? They would take the whole copy, the whole parchment that they had. And remember, it wasn't pages in a book. It was long scrolls that they did. And they would go out, and they would have this great, laborious ritual, and they would burn and completely destroy that. And then they would take those ashes, and they would bury them. And it would be a hollowed ground. That's how important that the Word of God was and that there could be no error in what they were doing. You know, it was very, very important to them. And when we see something new that showed up, and Jesus showed up with completely new things, and he says, that old way doesn't matter anymore. There's a new way. Can you understand why they got upset? Why they were so angry? Why they were so vehement against Christ and the disciples to try to get rid of them for doing such a horrible thing? And Jesus said, he's our Father. He's not an angry God that when you make a mistake on a piece of parchment that you need to go through such rituals. He's a loving, caring God who knows we make mistakes and he knows we sin, but he keeps loving us anyway. Jesus forgave sin. Remember the guy? I love the story of the guy who got let down in the roof. And you know, they said, you know, my buddy's lame. You know, would you heal him? And Jesus took a look at him and he said, your sins are forgiven. Holy cow, you can't get your sins forgiven that way. You need to go to the temple. You need to bring a lamb. You need to bring turtle dove. You need to bring a heifer. Big sin has brought big heifers. Little sin has brought little turtle doves, all right? I'm not asking. You know, it was kind of fun to stand in line out at the temple, you know. You stand there, you got your turtle dove, and you look around. Whoa, look at Ro. He's got a big heifer. Oh, man, wonder what he's been doing, you know. Oh, that's a guy with a lamp. Man, look at that ram he's bringing in here. I mean, you kind of knew by just who was standing in line and what they were bringing. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. I mean, that is sacrilege. How can you say that? You can't get your sins forgiven here. You need to go to the temple to get that done. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And he must have heard every eyeball in the place click and on him. And he said, just so you know, that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins. He said to the lame man, rise, take up your bed and walk. And they saw it. He wanted us to know. See, he changed everything. This passage of Scripture is not looking to something in the future. I'm telling you something that's here now. The fact that you're out of your sins gives you peace, doesn't it? I know I was burdened down with sin. I was a wreck. I was an emotional, mental, and spiritual wreck. And the day that Christ came to my life, everything changed. I was forgiven, and I understood that for the first time. The burden of sin was taken away. I don't have to wait for the New Jerusalem for that to happen. It happened with the old Christ, if I can say it that way. He had the ability to forgive sins. He ended the law, so the law is no longer in effect. We're not under the law. And I know that that's hard, and some of you are still trying to deal with that. But we were never under the law to begin with, all you Gentiles. By the way, have y'all been watching Creflo Dollar much lately? Man, has he had a revelation change in his life. He went from a crazy legalist to a wild, blown-out, hyper-grace, hum-pop-a-ratio person. I mean, he has changed. In fact, I didn't see this, but somebody told me that he's been telling people, don't you be reading those old books I used to write. They were wrong. I said, get some new books. He's writing some new books now. I mean, so, you know, that's a change in a man's life. Christ changes things in our life. He gives us new wine. He ushered in the kingdom of God, the millennium. It came in with him. It's not a future event. It's a present event. He was the firstborn from the dead. He was the first to be resurrected. That happened. It's not some kind of event that's going to happen. It has already happened. All right. God was with us in Christ, but he left. He left. He is no longer here. Don't be looking for Jesus. In fact, in Matthew 24, Jesus said, if they say here he is or there he is, don't believe it. It's not true. I'm not going to be here. He is not here. Jesus is not here, friends. The bodily resurrected Jesus is in the heavenly realm right now, seated at the right hand of the Father. That's where he is. Oh, my gosh, and you say Jesus isn't here. And he said, if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. The Spirit of God is here now. We have Christ's Spirit dwelling within us, not the bodily Jesus. His body is in heaven right now. That's where he is, seated at the Father. He will be coming back, by the way. He said he'll be coming back. Now, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit showed up as a mighty rushing wind. And you thought, the Jews thought Jesus was a problem. A real problem showed up. A bunch of fishermen who couldn't seem to do anything right suddenly got everything right. A guy who couldn't get two sentences together without putting his foot in his mouth, Peter, ends up preaching one of the greatest sermons ever preached in the book of Acts. You know, immediately after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Ghost showed up here, Jesus said, don't do anything, don't go anywhere until you're endued with power from on high. And when the Holy Spirit showed up, everybody in town came down to see what was going on. What is this? Are these guys drunk? Peter said, no, man, it's 5 o'clock someplace, but it ain't 5 o'clock here. You know, those of you who don't know that song have no idea what I just said. And he said, no, it's not. We're not drunk. This is what was promise by the prophet Joel that in the last days I would pour out my spirit. Your sons and daughters would prophesy. The old men will dream dreams and the young men will have visions. This is what is taking place now, he said. So it's not some future event where things are going to suddenly get better. Things are better now. Do you hear me? Things are better now. We have authority and power now. We have the Holy Spirit now. I was, Pat mentioned that we talked to a couple of people about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this one guy said, well, you know, I don't know anything about that. I said, great, because there's a passage of Scripture for you. It's in the book of Acts. I think it's chapter 5 or 6. I remember this. I read it to him and said, they had some guys that the apostles came upon, and they said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, why? What Holy Spirit? We didn't hear about that. Nobody told me that. That's not in my scroll. I didn't see that anywhere. They said, well, no, you got the baptism of John for repentance, but what you need is the power of the Holy Spirit. And they laid hands on them, and they all began to speak in other tongues. And one guy was there, and he liked it so much. He said, man, can I buy this? Because I want to have this. And Peter said, no, your money's no good here, brother. The only thing you need is to be right with God and change things. See, the power's here now. We don't have to wait for something. Come on, it's now. It's not later. It's here now. And much of what's wrong with our lives is we don't believe that. You know one of the worst things that's happened to the charismatic movement is we got respect. We did. We got respectable. You know, they stopped throwing us out of churches, you know, and they like us now, you know. In fact, and Dave, I hate to pick on David Jeremiah, but he needs to be picked on. He doesn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said all of that ended, you know, with the completion of the New Testament. That is as bad as what he said about the millennium this morning. You know, but that's what he believed. But he was on TBN, and I thought, doesn't he know that Paul Crouch is a Pentecostal? Doesn't he know that he speaks in other tongues? Doesn't he know that TBN exists because of the power of God that raised that thing up from nothing and broadcast the gospel around the world today? That's what the power of God can do. It's a now power to do great things now. I want somebody to start shouting. I'll tell you, this is worthwhile shouting about. Because we need to understand that things are happening now, not sometime in the future. Jesus was a problem. He forgave a couple of folks' sins. You know, said, you know, remember Mary, you know, go and sin no more. You know, he healed a few folks. You know, he did a few things. And now we got 120 wackos all baptized in the Holy Ghost. And that turned into millions and millions and countless millions of people around the world. No wonder Jesus said, it's better for you if I go away. Because if I go away, I will send the Helper to be with you. And he'll teach you everything. He will empower you. We are able to do great and mighty things in our own individual lives, in the church, in Slidell, and around the world because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And we've put him in a box, and we've made him respectable. Well, you know, I got kind of angry with us, not me. I said, you know, we're getting too respectable around here. You know, some of you think I'm just an ordinary guy. I'm not an ordinary guy. I'm a Holy Ghost baptized, tongue speaking, miracle believing, jumping pews kind of personality. That's who I am. And we need to do a little bit more of that. I haven't jumped on the pews lately. I need to start thinking about doing that again. Last church building we had over on Primo had scuff marks on the ceilings where I hit it with my shoes. I mean, so we need to do that again. We need to start believing God, seeing some miracles take place. And I'm going to do something about that. I'm tired of being respectable. Man. I knew this was a two-part sermon, but I thought I'd at least get through the first point of the sermon. You know, here's a good one. The resurrection was pretty cool, wasn't it? I mean, they killed Jesus. They put him in the grave, you know, and they got resurrected. I got to admit, that's cool. You know, I mean, that was changed everything. Everybody looking for the body, they couldn't find the body. But then, Remember what we studied last week or week before last? It says, but now those who believe are in the first resurrection. You have the resurrected power of Christ in you already. And you, we might put your body in a jar. We might stick it in the ground. We might feed it to the alligators. We might do a lot of stuff. But there'll be a day wherever your body is, wherever it's been, will be raised incorruptible. And you will put on the incorruption of a body just like Jesus. But as far as God is concerned, you are resurrected already. You don't have to wait for it. You already got the resurrection. And we don't hear that very much. Oh, I'm just a worm, just a sinner saved by grace. Oh, Rose, I hope I make it. I hope I make it to heaven, and hellfires will be on my rear end as I get through the gate. Isn't that the way we talk? Isn't that the way we believe? Where'd you get that crazy idea from? If you're born again, you're filled with power and might in the resurrected Christ and Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And what hellfire needs to worry that you might blow the fire out. You got so much power. The wind of the Holy Ghost, that's who you are. You've got it now, not tomorrow, now. Start living that way, thinking that way, believing that way. You need to change the way you think. If you change the way you think, you'll change what you believe. If you change what you believe, you'll change the way you act. And when you start acting like a Holy Ghost, crazy Pentecostal who believes God, things will be different in your life and in the lives of people around you. Stop living in the mud like a toad and get up and live like the resurrected Christ. That's who you are. Come on now. I hope somebody starts believing this. I hope I start believing this. We used to have a crazy Pentecostal around here. God rest his soul. He's no longer here. His name is Bud Pomez. And Bud just believed everything I just told you. And when Don Morales' back was so bad that he was disabled and couldn't work, and Don was in the back working on his... which he does a fairly good job of, soundboard. Don't have it this morning, but he was back there. And Bud Pomaz would go get him and said, come on, Don, we're going to pray for you. And Don would limp up here, and we'd pray for him. I had the spiritual belief of a toad. But Bud believed God was going to heal him. And I don't know how many times he drug poor Don up here. And one Sunday he went and drug him and brought him up here. And I prayed my same old prayer. Oh, God, please heal Don. Thank you, Jesus. You know, take his back pain away from blah, 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 blah. And God did it. Instantaneously healed it. Somebody believe. Bud Pomaz believe. We need some Bud Pomaz belief around here. Stop believing God. Let him faith and trust in God. And stop thinking that we have to wait for some future event. I'm telling you, these future events are now in the present. The new order replaced the old order. It says the tears will be dried up. Let me tell you what, friends. You get to know Christ, your tears will dry up. That's not to say you won't have hardship in life. I won't say that this world will make you cry sometimes, some of the things you say. Now, I don't know this for a fact. Some of you medical people might know more than I do, but I've heard this. I've heard that if you're crying, tears of sorrow, that they're very, very salty. But the tears of joy are not salty. Now, I don't know that to be a truth, so just check that out. I just thought of that as I just was standing up here, you know. So you go check that out for me. I know a lot about the Bible. I don't know much about the physical body. You can tell that from God running around with one arm. But, you know, I don't cry hopelessly. I did cry hopelessly before I knew Christ. But if I'm crying, I don't cry hopelessly. I cry at some of the misery I see that people go through. I cry at the hardship. I mean, when I see somebody lose a loved one, husband lose a wife lose a husband, people lose children, man, I cry. I cry. But I don't cry hopeless tears. I cry because I know they're going through a hard time. But I don't cry hopelessly because I know Christ. And I know the resurrected. And I know what God is doing. I know that God, what God will do. I know families are restored. Paul in jail The jailer comes up to him when the earthquake happened. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" And he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved in your household." In your household. We need to start believing for our kids and our grandkids and don't give up on them. I know they're hard-headed and I know they're in the wrong place and I know they're not doing what you want them to do, but don't give up. Keep praying and keep believing and taking authority. There was a lady one time, this is about her husband, he was as lost as a man could be. And she used to go to my Bible study. Her name was Beverly. And Beverly used to go to my Bible study and she would say, "We need to pray for Rocky." And we'd pray for Rocky every week that he get saved and Rocky wouldn't get saved. And she started bringing his clothes. She said, "Would you anoint his clothes? I'd anoint his clothes with oil and pray for Rocky." And man, he was meaner than a snake. And one day she came, she said, "Rocky's ready to get saved." I said, "He is." She said, "Can you come to my house tomorrow?" This is a Friday night. I said, "I'll be there." So Pat went there. We went the next day, and they lived in a little trailer here in town, and knocked on the door, and Beverly answered the door, and I said, "Where's Rocky?" And she said, he's out in the back. I said, "All right, I'll go in the back." And I went around the back. He was sitting on a swing. Pat was with me. I'm telling the truth. He was sitting on a swing, and I said, "Hey, Rocky, how you doing?" Not a word. Not a smile. Not a peep. He didn't even look at me. He's on that thing, just rocking, rocking. Swing, a little swing, yeah. And I said, "Well, Beverly tells me that you'd like to get saved." And I thought, "That Beverly, I'm going to beat her up. She lied to me. She got me here." Said, "This guy's no more ready to get saved than rocks are ready to get saved. You know, this guy is lost and he's going to go to hell. I mean, there's no hope for this guy." I mean, he would not respond. And I thought, "Well, I'm here. I'll just read him some scripture." So I whipped out my Bible and I read him the old Roman road. Well, you know about the old Roman road, all right? You know what happens to people when they hear it? And he didn't move. He just rocking on that swing. And I read it. Finally, I got tired of talking to myself. And I said, "Well, I'm going to go now." And I stuck out my hand and shake hands with him. Wouldn't even shake hands with me. I walked around and Beverly was in the front of the house. He said, "Beverly, he's not ready to get saved." "Oh, no, he's ready, he's ready." I said, "Well, he ain't getting saved today." So we left. That was Saturday. Sunday, Rocky showed up at church. Showed up at church. Sunday, finally, Rocky received Christ into his life. And he became one of the weirdest Pentecostals. In fact, he had to move from him. He moved up to Detroit. In fact, I was pastoring the church, and he wanted to be in a band. He didn't have any rhythm, no ability to do anything. We gave him a tambourine. The drummer hated him. He could. But he'd go to band practice, and he would beat that tambourine. I mean, that's what he did. He was weird for Jesus. See, God can change the hardest heart. The person you think God could never get through, God can get through to. I'm telling you, if Rocky can get saved, anybody can get saved. Believe me. And I've been there. I forgot all about Rocky. I didn't plan on telling that story, but that's a good story. Death was defeated. Mourning is replaced with hope. I don't mourn anymore when somebody dies. I hurt and I feel bad. But if they know the Lord, I'm not mourning over them because I know they're okay. And I know I'll get to see them again. And I know there'll be a day when all of this that I'm talking about will come to its completion. It's in process now. It's morphing into completion. We're in the end times and it will happen. But right now, I'll tell you what. You guys die, and I have to do your funeral, I'll be crying. I promise you I'll cry because it'll hurt me because I love you. And I don't want to have to bury you. But if I have to bury you, I'll do it, you know. I don't like doing funerals. I don't like funerals and weddings. I like baby dedications, you know. Weddings are too difficult because of mothers who want things to be perfect. Mothers of the bride. So they're hard. And funerals just tear my heart out. Pat will tell you, when I go home from a funeral, I've got nothing left. I've got nothing left. I'm weak. I can barely get home. I just want to sit there and just, because the anointing that it takes to bury a believer is really, really hard. But I don't mourn. I don't mourn. I won't mourn for y'all crying, but I will not mourn for you. And I wouldn't call you back if I could. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to lay hands on you and say, "Oh, God, raise them up." You're dead. You're going to stay dead. I'm not calling you back to this place. You don't want me calling you back. I don't know this for a fact, but I'm betting when you get to heaven, you go in, go find Lazarus. I bet you the first thing Lazarus is going to say when you talk to him, say, were you happy to come out of the grave? He said, no. I heard Jesus calling me. I kept saying, shh. Be quiet. I don't know. It's just my opinion. I don't know that for a fact. That's what I would have said. Hallelujah. Oh, man. You know, I'm not even going to get through point one of this sermon. Boy, and point two is so good. Oh, man, it's good. Hold on a minute. Let me tell you what, the book of Revelation is one of the greatest books to study if you understand it's in the now and not in the future. See, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit was to encourage people who were being persecuted. They were beheading them. They were burning them. They were putting them on stakes. They were feeding them the lions. They were tearing them in part and pieces. They were going through hell on earth. And the Holy Spirit took John on the island of Patmos and said, write these things. And he wasn't writing about something in the future. He was writing about something that was real that day. And they needed to be encouraged. And we need to be encouraged. This book is a book of encouragement. To be encouraged. And I know that there's coming a day when things are going to be morphed into a reality that I don't understand. And I'm going to talk about that next week and the following week. Go read. Go inhale. Go memorize. Go study the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and 22, because that's what I'll be preaching on for the next couple of weeks. And let it get into your spirit. And y'all won't be here. Oh, you're going to miss it. It's going to be so good. You're going to be crying all next week. Wish you were here. But you can listen on the internet, all right? Christianity is for today, not for tomorrow. Christianity is hope for today. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You know what your life is. You know, your life may be in a trash can. You may not have enough money to buy a nickel bottle of Coke if you could find one. You know, you might have problems that I couldn't even imagine. But I know the problem solver. I know the one who can speak to sin and say it's gone and forgiven, and that's Jesus Christ. I know the one who can speak to sickness and say be healed. That's Jesus Christ. I know the one who can offer you hope where you're hopeless. The one who can take away tears of mourning. The one who can take away the pain of life and make you feel good about yourself again. Because God loves you and cares you. That's what this is all about. That's what this scripture is all about. To make you realize how much God really loves you. And he really, really does. Let's all stand. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know everybody in the room today, so I'm going to do something a little uncharacteristic for me, but I just want to give you an opportunity. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, today can be the day of your salvation. You can do what I did. The day I got saved, I prayed a prayer of faith. You know what it was? Salty tears. I just cried. Because I didn't even know how to pray. That's all I knew. But God knew my heart that I really wanted to be different. I really wanted to be forgiven. And he forgave me. And he changed me. And what he did for me, he'll do for you. Do for anybody. Did it for Rocky. Rocky Melikovsky was his name. Rocky, if you're listening, I love you, man. Wherever you are, call me if you can. You know, he usually calls me every year. I haven't heard from him for a while. What I'm about to say sounds like hollow, trite words, but they're the greatest truth you'll ever hear. God really loves you. Now. Thank you, Tommy. He loves you now. He loves you now. He loves you so much that he sent his only son, that if you would just believe in him, you would never perish, but have everlasting life. You don't have to go to church every Sunday. You don't have to give all your money to the poor. All you have to do is believe that God loves you and ask him into your life. And when you do that, he'll wash away every sin. He'll give you a new life. In fact, Paul said, we were dead in our trespasses and sin, and we were made alive in Christ. What I'm going to do is I'm going to lead us in a prayer, okay? And it's just a simple prayer of salvation. If you'd like to receive Christ into your life, you just pray this prayer along with me. And I'm going to get everybody to join in with me, so it'll make you feel a little more comfortable. You won't be speaking by yourself. But if you'll pray along with me, I'll tell you something when we finish praying to enlighten you. Just pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I agree with you that I've done wrong. But right now, as best I know how, I put all that wrong behind me. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I believe that Jesus lived, that he died on Calvary's tree, and that he rose from the grave. And right now, I'll invite him into my life. From this day forward, I'll do my best to serve you. And this is my prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, the Bible says, Paul wrote these words. He said, if you will confess with your mouth, and that's what you just did, Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart. If you believe in your heart, if you pray that and believed it and wanted to believe it and doing your best to believe it, says that you'll be saved. You'll be eternally saved. You can walk out of this building and say on this September day that your life changed completely. Okay? So if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I'm not going to ask you to walk the aisle. I'm not going to play one more stanza of Just As I Am. But I will ask you to do this. Before you leave the building, would you let me know? Would you just come up to me? Now, I have a plastic arm here. Will you just tap me on the arm twice? Not once, but twice. Because a lot of people tap me once, but if you tap me twice, I'll know that you prayed that prayer, all right? Now, just because I want to know. I'm just nosy. I want to know. All right. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for inspiring John as an old man stuck on a rock island in the middle of nowhere to write this book called the Book of Revelation, that we could have it today in this comfortable building in the year 2014 and be encouraged in our innermost beings. Father, thank you for it. Thank you, Father. Let this word that has been spoken, that's of you, let it take root within each of our hearts and minds and spirits. And let us feast on it, dear Lord, for the rest of our lives. Father, this is our prayer. And Father, we pray for Ro and Becky as they'll be traveling. They'll go visit her dad, that they'll have a safe journey. Their car will run well, and they'll get back in town happy, rejoicing over the great news that a change was made in their dad's life. We thank you, Father, in Christ's name. Oh, yes, and Father, we do want to lift up Liz's daughter, Hope. She's aptly named Hope. Let hope become faith and become a reality for her. That this cancer, what she's going through this surgery, she'll be made 100% whole. Pray for Miss Chelsea, Lord, that you'd give her strength in her foot that was operated on, that she'd get back to church. I pray for Miss Bobby that you'd heal her back, take away her pain. Pray for Yvonne, dear Lord, who twisted her ankle, Lord. You touch her. All those who are sick, all who need you, let healing take place. This is our prayer, Father, in Christ's name. Amen and amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Thank you for being here.